You can grab a seat, and we're here to worship Jesus today, and I hope that this week has treated you well, and as we come into this time of gathering and worshiping, he is worthy. So let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we come, and we're just thankful today that we can gather in the name of Jesus. We can gather because of what he did for us on the cross. We can gather because our lives have been changed, and our lives have been entered into a relationship with you because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And it's in all of that we do today is really for him and through him. And God, we ask that you would just glorify this time that we have, and that it would be a blessing to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you guys are a little tired today? Anybody? Look at you. All of you. You're all tired because you watched the Packers lose. I watched it too. It was good. It was like Brett Favre. The spirit of Brett Favre came down on the Packers yesterday, and it made it all good. So it makes me feel a little bit better going into the Lions game. At least, even if they do lose, at least the Packers aren't going to win. So that's kind of my role in life, and that's been my role in life for years, like 40 years. And so I think we're just tired people, right? Like, there are just things that we're tired. Maybe you're already tired of the snow. That was a good snowstorm, right? That was pretty fun. 50 inches, 40 inches, whatever we got in that little short amount of time. That was good. A good time to be able to unpack and to pack some snow up on our banks and all of that good stuff. Maybe work has got you tired. Maybe family's got you tired. Maybe school has got you tired, and you're just tired. And you go, man, I need rest. I need a break. I need a vacation. You know, we live in a time and a place where we have more things and more ability of things that promise us rest. I could go on my phone right now, and I could push a button, and a vacuum would come out of its stand and vacuum our house. Mind you, it probably wouldn't work very well because my kids probably didn't clean up their shoes, and it would hit the shoes and those types of things. But we don't even have to vacuum our houses, right? Like, we have things that promise us more time. We have washing machines. Think about the old ways that we used to wash clothes, like go down to the river, right? Or go down and you have a washboard and you're physically doing it. We have washers. We have dryers. We have more ability to go on vacation. I was just talking with somebody out in the hall, and they said, hey, if the Lions win, I'm going to San Francisco. And they're going to travel out to San Francisco. And we have this ability to take vacations, and we have this ability to do all of these things that will promise us rest. And what I asked you today is, how many of you are tired? And many of you went like this, and you raised your hand. We have Netflix accounts. We can get entertainment anytime we want, just like this. We have Amazon Prime. There's Paramount Plus. There's all kinds of things. We don't have to wait for, like, the traveling circus or the traveling theater to come in to have entertainment. We have entertainment on our phones instantly. We can play games instantly. Some of you probably right now are playing games. And so we have it all the time. We have all of these things that promise us rest, that promise us that we're going to recreate in some way. And for some reason, we're still tired. We're still in this place where we go, man, I need some time to rest. And I want to give you today something that will actually recharge your batteries. I want to give you something that is the Red Bull of Scripture. It is the thing that will get you up and get you going and keep you moving in a direction. And that tiredness that you have, I think, can be released today. And so we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at a conflict Jesus has with the Pharisees. He has all kinds of these conflicts. If you remember last week, we talked about one of his conflicts, and there was a calling of Levi, and there was a conflict in that. And then if you continue on in that chapter, there's a conflict about fasting. And then we're going to hit this conflict about Sabbath. And we're going to be looking at this Sabbath rest and what Jesus says about that. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Mark chapter 2. Let me just give you a little context about this idea of Sabbath and why it's an important theme throughout the Old Testament. It starts with God modeling it in creation. You have 6 days where God is creating, and he's making this wonderful world that we get to enjoy, this creation that we get to take part in every day. And at the end of that, he looks at it and he goes, man, this is very, very good. And then what does he do? He rests. He enjoys the creation and then he rests. That is not for him. That is a model for us in the midst of this. God institutes this not as a command at that point. There is no command at that point to do this, but there is a rhythm to this in the scripture. It's not until Exodus that God institutes this for the people of Israel as something that is really important for them. And so remember Israel. Israel is in Egypt. They're there for like 400 years. And in this 400-year span, they are slaves. How many days do slaves get off? Zero, right? It's all about production. It's all about getting the job done. It's all about serving the master. And so what happens is that God brings them, he brings them out of Egypt, and they're now cruising along in the wilderness, and they're by Mount Sinai. Moses goes up to the top of the mountain and he gets something that we refer to as the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment, you want to guess what that is? It talks about Sabbath. This fourth commandment, it's a commandment for those people. It's a commandment for them to rest, but know where they're coming from. What is God describing to them? What is he helping them to understand? God is their master. He is their Lord. He is their God. He is the one who saved them. He's the one who brought them out of captivity. But he's saying, hey, I'm different. I'm different than any other master. You've been, for generations, you've hadn't had a day off. I'm going to give you a day. I'm going to give you a day where you get to rest, where you get to be in relationship with me, that it's going to be a focused time. I want you to keep this. I want you to keep this as sacred, to remind you of something, to remind you that I am your provider, to remind you that I am good. I'm a good, good God. I want you to know this. I want you to understand this. And so this is where Sabbath comes into play in the Old Testament. And it's a theme throughout the Old Testament. It's something that God is gracious and lovingly did for the people of Israel. Today's story, it's two stories actually. They kind of misunderstand. They don't kind of misunderstand. They misunderstand Sabbath. They misunderstand the purpose of it. And Jesus is going to, he's going to take them and try to steer them to understand what Sabbath is for. And he's going to correct a couple of things in their understanding. So we're going to look at these stories in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some of the heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answers, "Have you never read that David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need in the days of Abiathar, the high priest? He entered the house of God and he ate the consecrated bread, which was not, they weren't supposed to, which is unlawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath." The scene is that Jesus and his disciples are walking through this wheat field on the Sabbath. His disciples grab a couple of handfuls of grain and they began to eat this. They needed a little snack, and this was their nutrient bar type thing as they're walking through, and they grab some and they eat some. As soon as the Pharisees see this, they go to Jesus. "Hey, what are your boys doing? Why are they dishonoring the Sabbath? Why would you let them do this? You say that you're a man of God. You understand how important the Sabbath is. Why would you allow your guys to dishonor it?" The reason that they were in this place, or the reason that the Pharisees were believing this, and that they were dishonoring that the disciples were dishonoring the Sabbath by plucking the grain was the Pharisees had come up with 39 different rules of how to honor the Sabbath. 39 rules. And one of those rules was you're not to pluck the head of grain. And so when they saw this, they instantly were going, nope, that's wrong. That's not okay. Mind you, these are Pharisees who are supposedly obedient people to God. And so remember, part of the Mosaic law, that's the Ten Commandments. It's more than that, but that is a part of the Ten Commandments. The Mosaic covenant with the people of Israel, it was this. God said, here's the things that I want you to do. If you do these, I will do this. I will bless you. If you don't do these, what happens? They would get punished. They would get punished, right? And so they had these very strict rules or these things that God had given them to follow in the midst of this. But this was a covenantal relationship. This was a covenantal relationship. So you need to understand that as a part of this text. And so when the Pharisees see this, they're going, wait, you're breaking the covenant. You're breaking what God has established in the midst of this thing. And it confused them to see Jesus. And he said he's a man of God. And they believed and they saw some of this, but they didn't understand why he wasn't following this. And it was perplexing to them. They knew you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. Remember, they had 39 rules. Those 39 rules were not in the Mosaic law. They were rules that they had come up with. Jesus responds to them with a story. We're not going to get into all the details of that story, but there's this historical account of King David and his men. It was before he was king. He ate some bread that they were not supposed to eat. But God didn't punish them because they needed, it was out of need that they got this bread. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees is that you've missed the point of Sabbath. You've missed the point of Sabbath. You missed God's intention in the Sabbath. Then he gives them two statements. These two statements give us God's intention for Sabbath. Look at verse 27 with me. It says this, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus tells them, this picture is the Sabbath was a gift. The Sabbath was something that God gave them as an understanding of his goodness, his understanding of what he is like. Remember, 400 years of captivity, generation after generation, 400 years of not having a day off to this very specific, very intentional, very sacred day of God saying, I'm going to give you this so that you remember who I am. So you remember that I am your God and that I'm the one who provides. So the Pharisees, what they had done in this is they had flipped the reason for this. They had flipped the reason for this. They thought that it was just, they thought it was just a way to find God's favor instead of God's favor being upon them. And that's a key in this. They thought it was like, if I do this, if I'm just, then God's going to like me and God's going to, and if you don't do this, God's not going to like me. No, this was a covenantal sign of relationship with God that they were working through in the midst of this. They think that the Sabbath was something that they were made to do. That the Sabbath was the one controlling them. The Sabbath was the religious act. And God was saying, yes, it's a sacred day. It's something that I gave you because I love you and I care about you and I want to be gracious to you and I want to show you who I am. And this will be a sign. This will be something that is connected to me. It was a blessing, not a burden. And they had made it a burden instead of a blessing. Then Jesus said the second statement. He said, the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. What is Jesus trying to say here? He's saying that this day of rest, this Sabbath, this holy day that's set apart, finds its fullest purpose in him. He's saying, I decide what is good and proper on the Sabbath. I decide what rest really is. Jesus says that God is more gracious and more generous than you're giving him credit for. You're thinking it is about this religious act, and God is saying, I'm being gracious to you. I'm giving you something in our relationship that you have needed for a long time, a day off. What Jesus says is, I'm the rest. I'm the Lord of the rest. I'm the one you have come to find rest in. If you've never come to me, you will never find rest. He's saying, I'm the one. In Matthew 11:28, it says this, come, this is Jesus, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I, this is a promise, what does he say? I will give you rest. The truest fulfillment of Sabbath is found in Jesus. Jesus is saying that I'm the rest that you're looking for. I'm the rest that Sabbath is all about. These teachers had missed it. Remember, these people were trying to be obedient, and they missed that God is good and the Sabbath was for their good. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. They were trying to obey the Sabbath. They really were, and they just misunderstood it. They made the Sabbath the master or a way of earning God's favor, and they missed that it was a gift from God. When you look at the Pharisees, you go, how did they miss this? And you kind of scratch your head and go, well, why are they so dumb, right? Like, how do they not get this? Well, I think they misunderstood the Sabbath. And I think they're a lot like us. Let me just say this. The Sabbath is not a covenant command given to Christians. It's not a covenant command. You're not Jewish. You're not under the Mosaic law. It is not a covenant command given to Christians. To observe the Sabbath is not a requirement. Keeping the Sabbath along with all the other sacrificial laws are not necessary for those who live under the new covenant. We don't keep the Sabbath for the same reason we don't sacrifice lambs for the remission of sin. Because the true lamb has already been sacrificed. His name is Jesus. The true Sabbath has already come. His name is Jesus. We enter God's rest when we put our faith in the person and the work of Jesus. The entire law of Moses, which includes the Ten Commandments, is obsolete because Jesus Christ fulfills the law of Moses. Jesus institutes a new covenant. Jesus' death on the cross is fully sufficient for our salvation and our sanctification. Now, 9 out of the Ten Commandments, Mosaic Commandments, are repeated as ethical laws in the New Testament and are written on the hearts of men. The Sabbath is not repeated. But, here's the but, I still think it's part of the rhythm of the world. It's part of the rhythm that we get to walk in. I think it's a rhythm that God gives us as a gracious gift to us. It's not a requirement. It's a rhythm. There's no greater truth which we may place our faith in, that the truth that Christ's work on the cross is completely sufficient for as our Savior, and He is our Sabbath rest. Our Savior makes us holy. It's not an observance of a day. Here's where I think we're the same as the Israelites or the Pharisees, where we miss this. Is we don't go to Jesus for our rest. We don't go to Jesus for our rest. I think we're the same. Even though there's a promise, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. as followers of Jesus, God does not expect us to live by Israel's laws. However, the wisdom of these laws remains, and the law of the Sabbath is rich and significant, I think, for us today. Sabbath is not a commandment we're bound to. It's a promise we're invited to enjoy. We're invited to enjoy this because Sabbath is Jesus. And the fulfillment and the purpose is Jesus. We think Sabbath is a day of inactivity. It's about clearing our schedule and not doing anything, not producing anything. We think practicing Sabbath is just sit around in my comfy pants and take a break. That's not the ultimate purpose. What do we run to find rest? Well, sometimes we run to our Netflix account, right? We want to be entertained so much. We go and we watch an entire season of something on Netflix. Rest doesn't come from that. Rest doesn't come from just hanging out with our friends. All day of fun. I think it's fun, but rest doesn't come out of that. Rest doesn't come from catching up on things at the house. Rest comes from hanging out with Jesus. Oftentimes, many of us try to take days off and rest, and we don't feel refreshed. Do you know why you don't feel refreshed? Because in those days, you ignore Jesus. You ignore Jesus. I take Fridays off. I'm pretty strict about that. I take Friday off. This week I didn't get to do that. I got the great privilege of coming to the Chinese Fellowship and baptizing three individuals who said yes to Jesus for the very first time, and it was so awesome. And I would do that every week. It was incredible. I just got to share. It's like incredible stories of how God is at work in a Walmart checkout line where somebody meets somebody else and it aligns this person with somebody who knows Jesus, and they meet Jesus through this relationship. Crazy stuff happening. And that story is bigger and better than I'm describing it. But it was just an encouragement to my heart to hear what was going on. But most of the time, I take Fridays off. And I'm learning to take Fridays off in how to do that. And part of me taking off, and I'm just going to be, I'm not going to be pastoral, I'm going to be super honest, and maybe that is pastoral. I, for a long time, thought, well, my whole job is hanging out with Jesus, right? I study scripture. I pray for you guys. I pray for the church, and I just hang out and I'm looking at this and trying to figure this thing out. And how am I going to communicate to the larger community? What do they need to hear God? And so I spend a lot of time. I get the privilege of spending a lot of time as a job. And so for a while, I would take Fridays off and just like put my comfy pants on, watch some Netflix, do a couple of things, and just like go, man, this is kind of fun, but I wasn't hanging out with Jesus. I wasn't going, man, even though I do this for work, I wasn't hanging out with Jesus. I wasn't going, man, here's the stuff that happened this week, Jesus. Here's the things that hurt me. Here are the things that caused some pain in my life. I wasn't doing that. And I will tell you it was to my detriment that I didn't do that. And I'm learning how to do that better. And I'm learning how to just spend some time in that. Jesus, in his first story, he corrects their understanding of the Sabbath. In the next story, which is a continuation of the first story, he's going to correct the rejection and ultimately, I think, maybe our rejection. And so in the second story, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath? Jesus said to the man with shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, he's asking the Pharisees, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Here is the scene. They're in a very public place. Before they're in a field. Now they're in this very public place. They're in a synagogue. And it's much like what we're doing right now. A place of public worship. Mark tells us that there is this man there with a shriveled hand. The man, in this time period, if you had a disability in this way, it was a fairly difficult life. He probably can't work, so money's really tight. He probably had trouble putting his sandals on. And there's this disability, this withered hand that he has. Ancient Christian tradition tells us that this man was a stonemason. And there was an accident that happened, and it smashed his hand. And it made him where he was no longer able to work. I don't know, it doesn't tell us that in the text, but that's ancient tradition, that that's what was happening. There's another part of this, is that in ancient tradition, they believe that the Pharisees planted this guy. They planted him there because, remember in what it says in the text, that they were watching Jesus to see. And so the ancient tradition is that this man's hand was smashed and the Pharisees went to him before this meeting that they were having, this gathering that they were having, and they said, hey, there's this Jesus guy coming. This Jesus guy's coming and he can heal your hand. They're trying to set Jesus up in the midst of this. They're trying to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. I think they're still reeling from the field conversation where he was correcting, excuse me, some things. They didn't, their hearts were really hard toward that. And so they tried to trap Jesus in this moment. And you can see the hearts of the Pharisees. It's on display in verse 2. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Notice they were not concerned for this man whose livelihood was taken from him. They are not concerned. They're not concerned about his family or any of those things. They're concerned with having something to accuse Jesus. In the first story, they were asking questions. While these questions might be more along the lines of accusations, they weren't asking questions anymore. There's no dialogue. They're just waiting and watching so that they can accuse him because they don't want to hear what he has to say. It's as if Jesus knows that this is a public place and he calls the guy to himself. And they're in this public place and he begins to speak to the Pharisees, really. He begins to speak to their hearts. And verse 4, he calls them out. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remain silent. So standing next to him is this guy, and then he goes to the Pharisees. Hey, what's the point of the Sabbath? What's the point of the Sabbath? You are teachers of the law. We're all here. Tell us the point of the Sabbath. Should I heal this man or shouldn't I? He calls them out in front of everyone. And tell me the point of the Sabbath. And their response is to remain silent. Verse 5, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched out his hand.
stretched his hand, was completely restored. In the text, Jesus had this weird mix of anger and grief because these Pharisees didn't care about the man or the words of the Son of God. They only cared about their purposes. They could no longer rejoice in the tokens of God's grace and his goodness to them. Jesus, on the other hand, shows the group of them what the purpose of Sabbath is, what it's like. Remember this man. Difficult life. Think of all the anxiety and maybe the shame of not being able to provide. And in that moment, Jesus heals, and he can. What Jesus is displaying is what the Sabbath is for. It is for healing. It is for healing and restoration. It's to restore what is broken. This is important. Don't miss this part of the teaching. They reject his teaching. They reject his healing. They reject this from him. How many of us totally reject the ultimate Sabbath? We reject the idea of God's healing us through the finished work of Jesus, through the sanctifying power of the Spirit. Maybe you've never heard that the ultimate Sabbath rest is for healing found in Jesus. It's for your good. We often think of Sabbath to be just for the super religious or the pious so they can look down really on everyone else. But it's not that. It's an invitation of God to find rest in him, to find healing in him. And maybe in your mind you're going, man, I don't know if I need rest. I don't need restoration. I'm fine. Really? Pull up your Netflix account. Let me see. I think you probably do, because I do too. Some of you are anxious. And what do you do when you're anxious? You do more tasks. If I could just get this task done and this task done, then all the world would be right and I would find rest. Here's what the Bible says. No, you won't. There'll be another task. You find rest in Jesus. Maybe for some of you, it's on your day off. It's just another day for you to run for approval of people. You feel guilty about the week. And you're like, I can't waste a second of this. I have to keep up with all of this. So it's filled with texting and running to family birthday parties, visiting this person and running. And none of those things are wrong. But it misses the point. There's nothing wrong with a little Netflix. There's nothing wrong with a good show. There's nothing wrong with getting a task done. I have a little task that I love to make the check marks. I don't know about you guys. I like to make the little check. I got something done. It's good to have relationships with people. But if you're using these to try to accomplish healing and restoration, you will lose that game. Because true rest only comes from the Lord of the Sabbath. Hopefully at this point you're going, okay, tell us how to do this Sabbath thing. Hopefully that's where you're at. I want to kind of just walk through just a little bit in this last of what I see the scriptures kind of telling us and how to define Sabbath for us. I think we do it God's way. There's two components to it. Remember what God did at the end of verse 6 and going into verse 7 in Genesis. He goes, man, this is very good. He enjoys creation. I think that's a part. It's a part of what we do, is we enjoy creation. And the second part of it is this, and this one's important. We enjoy the Creator. We enjoy creation and we enjoy the Creator. Those two are part of Sabbath. An intentional day, a place, a marker in our lives to go, man, I'm gonna walk into this rhythm that God has given, this invitation that I should observe, not out of religious might, but out of understanding that God is good. We enjoy creation and we enjoy the Creator. Romans 6, 17 says, we're just like the Egyptians. We weren't just like the Israelites. We weren't slaves to the Egyptians, but we were slaves to sin. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, God did something through the person of Jesus Christ. It's not out of religion that we go there, but it's out of reality that we find rest in the Lord of the Sabbath. And you can, mind you, you can go to him anytime. There doesn't have to be a specific day like how they did that. You can go to them anytime. But there's something about the rhythm of just taking a break and being intentional about that day. Measuring your time. Measuring an understanding of that. So let me just tell you kind of how I do Sabbath. What I do in that. How do I enjoy creation? Well, one of the things that I do enjoy in creation is this. I look for things that fill and don't drain me. Fill and don't drain me. So let me just say this. This is off my bucket list because I've done this. Watching TV all day, it does not fill me. It actually drains me. I've done it. But it doesn't fill me. It actually drains me in the midst of this. Because it just doesn't do what it's supposed to do in the midst of this. So I don't do that. I don't enter into that. How do I look and how do I use this time? I look for activities that fill me. If I'm booked with constant activities, and doesn't fill me, it drains me. Like if I have to go from this thing to this thing to this thing to this thing, not my thing, right? So what do I do? How do I look at creation and allow those filling activities? One of the activities that I like doing is working in the yard. I found that if I get up in the morning and I get out in the yard and maybe cut some wood, mow the lawn, until about noon. More than that, it feels like work, right? I find pleasure in it. My job, I will just tell you, like why I like to cut wood. I like the heat of it and all of those things. And, you know, it heats you twice, you know, once when you're cutting it, once when you're burning it. That's a good thing. But I don't have very many widgets in my work life. I don't have widgets. Like, I don't know what the Spirit of the Living God's doing in your heart right now. And I probably won't know that. That's not for me to know. My job is to faithfully preach the Word of God. But there's not widgets to it. I don't get a pile of wood going, woo, there it is. But when I cut wood, I get a pile of wood. And so I enjoy that, and it fills my heart and fills me up in the midst of that. Done. I really enjoy playing basketball, getting a little exercise. The other thing that really fills me is cooking proteins. I love it. A nice smoked pork butt on the smoker and letting it go all day and then having that nice meal, awesome, fills my soul. I love doing that. I enjoy doing that. And so I often do that. I don't do things that drain me, like looking at my phone. I will tell you, I check it once a day on Friday. And I'm checking for emergencies. If you text me on Friday and it's a friendly text, you probably aren't going to get a text till the next day. Because unless it's a necessary thing, I don't do it. Because those things, I'm not going to enter into that. That's just a discipline. That's just for me. That might not be for you. You might love your phone and it fills you. I don't know. If I'm real honest with you, I enjoy being around people. But let me define that. If I'm going to be around people on Fridays, usually speaking, it's going to be people that know me. People that I know and they know me and I can just be Levi. I try not to do things where I'm coming into a situation and where people know me just as Pastor Levi. I try not to do that. It's not because I don't care about them. It's not because I don't have fun with them. I actually do have fun with them. But having fun and being filled are different. Did you hear that? Having fun and being filled are different. Here's the deal. I just told you mine. The creation thing, it's going to be different for everyone. What fills you may not fill me. And it's okay. Enjoy creation. Be specific about that. But here's the important thing. Remember, I did this. I would enjoy creation, but I forgot something in there. What's the other one? Creator. I'm going to spend a chunk of time letting the Word of God pour over me. That is a Sabbath to me. Allowing myself to go before Jesus and hear His Word. And so I will tell you, I don't usually read it. I listen to it on Fridays. I let it pour over me, and I'll listen to some chapters of the Scripture and just go, man, God, what do you want from me? And then it's meeting time with Jesus. Here's what needs to be healed. Jesus, this is what happened in my life. I need healing here. Because remember, Sabbath rest is about healing. It's about healing you. And the glory and the goodness of God is that He gave us this rhythm that we can go and we can be healed by Jesus, the ultimate Sabbath. That's what I enjoy doing. That's what I'm going to do. It's vital for me to remember that God is good and that He wants to heal me. He wants to do a good work in my life. The more I practice this, the more the next week seems like, oh yeah, I can do this. The more that my mind is freed from the things that have happened the week before, both good and bad, the conversations that are going to happen in that next week, the relationships that I'm going to enter, all of those things that sometimes give me anxiety, that have wounds and have pain and have all of those things, that my mind becomes freed from that I can take another step with Jesus. Enjoy creation. And make sure you enjoy the Creator. This is Sabbath. You're not required to do this in the New Testament. The sign of the covenant with us in the New Testament is not Sabbath. The sign of the New Covenant for us is called Communion or Eucharist or Lord's Supper. And we take that in remembrance of Jesus, His body and blood given for us, for the remembrance of what He did for us on the cross, that we enter into this relationship with God, that we have this ability for our sins to be forgiven, to be sons and daughters of the Most High. And the sign of the new covenant is the Eucharist. It's the communion. That's our sign. But I will tell you, there's some wisdom in the rhythm. There's some wisdom in the rhythm. And so I want to encourage you to take an intentional day. That you would walk with me in this rhythm, this energizing, this way of that God did Himself, not because He needed rest, but because He understood that we need rest, that we need to recognize that He is our provider, that we need to be healed on a weekly basis. That you would, excuse me, that you would take a day that you would be mindful of. It doesn't have to be Friday night through Saturday. It doesn't have to be that. Paul talks about that. You don't have to do it that. But to do this, I will tell you, will move you in this relationship, will heal you in this relationship and in this world. Because we can all go, man, I'm tired and this world is broken. We can all do that, right? So I want to encourage you to walk in the beauty and the graciousness and in the beauty of Sabbath. So some of you are going, well, I'm a mom and I can't do this. I got you. Talk to your husband. Maybe he takes 4 hours to enjoy creation. You take 4 hours and you have a meal together. But make sure you're spending time with the Creator and figure it out, people. Right? Like here, guess what?
They get older, I'm telling you. And they get older. And you'll be okay. But begin to practice. Begin to walk in the midst of this. We would like to see you do this. And we have a, if you have your phones, if you're playing a game, just pause for a moment. We want to enjoy this with you. We want to see the church walk together in this. Remember, the scriptures are best connected when we're in community with each other, when we're walking together in the midst of this. If you would like to say, hey, I'm in. I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk in this Sabbath rhythm. I'm going to walk in this gracious gift from God that I would understand His creation. I would enjoy this thing. Remember, the world was made for you and me. We are the ones who have dominion over it. We are the ones that God made it for, that we could enjoy this thing together. So enjoy creation. But remember who created it, the Creator, and enjoy Him. Because if you've said yes to Jesus, you're a son and daughter of the Most High, that you're in relationship with Him. And one of the great things that we get to do is hang out. And so if you would, just join for 2 months. That's all I'm asking. 2 months. Just try it for 8 weeks, 8 times. Just walk with us in the midst of this. This rest, because many of you at the beginning of this, what did you do when I asked, are you tired? You went like this. Jesus is our rest. All those who are heavy laden, all those who are burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. God, we come before you. We're thankful for the reality of your goodness, the reality that you understand us, the reality that you want to give us good gifts. You are a good, good Father. Thank you for the reality of who Jesus is, that his death, burial, and resurrection are sufficient for our salvation and for our sanctification. Thank you for the rhythm that you designed in this world, that we work and then we rest. We enjoy the creation. We enjoy the works of our hands. We enjoy you, the Creator. God, help us to do that well. Help us to do that well, to honor you, but God, also to heal us, to have this relationship with you, to move in the direction that you've called us, to the Sabbath rest. Thank you for Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.